Hi, I'm Olivia Austin, brand designer, strategist, business coach, and life enthusiast. I'm obsessed with helping people build a dream life and business that allows them to wake up every day doing what they love and make money doing it. Each episode, I'll take you behind the scenes on how to build an authentic brand, intentional business, and live a life with purpose every single day. So grab a coffee, open up your journal. This is Behind the Design Podcast. Hi, Angela. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hello, hello.
I'm so happy to have you here. For those of you guys listening, we are with Angela from Saffron Avenue, and today we're going to pick her brain about all things running a design studio, creativity, and being a mom and entrepreneur. So the first thing I love asking my guests are just tell us about your entrepreneurial journey. How did you get to where you are right now?
I feel like it could be really long. So I feel like everyone says this. Let's be honest. Yes. I'm like, I'm going to make this short and sweet. Let me just start by saying I knew I wanted to own my own business and be creative by the age of, was it like 13? I don't remember. Okay. It was when the wedding planner came out. So maybe I was 13, and this is aging me also. Wow. So don't Google the year that was, you know, I knew I wanted to be a wedding planner. And I knew I just want to be creative because that literally was my entire childhood. I was always drawing. I was always like creating clay things, painting, anything creative. I was like on it. I literally would just sit in my room and draw a lamp that I was staring at. So I always knew. As I got older in high school, they have you talk to a counselor usually. And they're like, well, do you want to go to college? And like, you know, what's the plan? And I was like, no, I want to be a wedding planner. And she's like, that's not a thing. That was just a movie. And it was true. Like, it really wasn't a thing back then. So I was like, but that's okay. I will make it happen. Like, that was already my mindset, which is crazy because I came from a very small Midwest town in Midwest, like Wisconsin. So that was just a wild concept. And even when I told my family, they're like, that's not a thing. You need to pursue a real career. And that didn't stop me. So I started planning in high school about 3 baby showers, which also shows how tiny my school was. So I actually planned a couple of my friends' baby showers. And then right out of there, I was like, I got to go to college no matter what. I can't afford to leave. I can't afford to go to California, but I will go to school and get a degree for back, you know, just in case. Did that. Hated school. Always hated school. I went for communications psychology. It was pointless. Did meet my husband there, so that's good. And then throughout college, though, at one point, I called a local wedding planner because by this point, you know, a decade later, it was finally a thing. I called the local wedding planner. She was like a main one in the city. And I was like, hey, I have a school project that I'm supposed to mentor or have like shadow or someone in a field I want to work on. And I completely made that up. It was not a project because I really wanted to figure out. So she was like, of course, like I have a wedding this week coming this weekend. You can definitely come like shadow. And I did that. And my God, it was like one, it was like the biggest wedding ever. And it was a really long day and night, but I loved it. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then of course, my whole point of doing is like, I was trying to get a job. So at that point I was like, well, I showed how hard I can work. Would you ever be able to maybe, can I help more? And she's like, well, I can't pay you. I'm like, totally fine. So I'd help on weekends. Mind you, I already had like another 2 jobs during college, but I did that, fell in love and knew that at that point I wanted to graduate and move somewhere else and be a wedding planner. So I want to be a wedding planner. I decided that after college. So I pretty much just got a job locally, but I'm like, I need to start saving up because I'm just gonna peace out and leave. Like I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I was working for the one there, but I'm like, I want to go somewhere and start my own career. So I think it was about a year after I graduated, I saved up enough money. I found an apartment in North Carolina and decided to pretty much in the next month pack up my car, quit my jobs, and drive there without a job lined up. And let me just tell you, the ignorance is beyond, because that was in 2010-11, and that's when the economy was like really bad. Like that's when like there's no jobs. I had no idea, literally had no idea, because I was so young and dumb. So I went to that, drove out there, finally hustled, found a job at like a cupcake shop store, and I helped design wedding cakes, which led me into meeting people. And I found a job at a marketing company for a law firm, started doing that. And that kind of spiraled even more into starting an Etsy online thing, creating patterns, and then working with the girl, which if some of these people listening might know, it's Salted Ink. We started a little company called Mint 102, which did wedding branding. And that was like the first of wedding branding. And then that was during the time I started Saffron Avenue. So that was kind of the basis. And then about a year and a half after that, I was able to go full time with Saffron Avenue and move back home and then just keep building pretty much. And that's just like, I feel like that's the interesting part of my story. So
yeah,
I feel like no, we're good with that. And the rest is history.
No, there are so many key takeaways, and there's also so many similarities with you and I's story. I did same thing. I just graduated and moved. Like, I didn't even save up money. Like, that's how stupid I was. I had like maybe $1,000 and didn't have a job, didn't know a single person, just moved out to California, but very similarly, just like hustled and kind of just made it happen. I think there is something to be said for that no plan B attitude. Like,
that's how I was.
This is going to work. Like, I have no other plan, like, because this is just going to work and you made it happen. So that is so amazing. That's crazy that at such a young age, you knew that you were going to own a business.
My dad was, in construction and he owned his own business. Granted, that's a totally different industry, but yeah, I think I just saw him do it and work for himself. And then I'm like, well, and of course, wedding planner, that's like you own your own business. So yeah, it's just it is kind of crazy to think about, but I always knew it.
Yeah. So you taught yourself graphic design then?
Yeah. So while I was in North Carolina, I created that Etsy. Kind of backtrack a little bit. When I was working for the wedding planner in college, I would actually sneak into her office on weekends. Like there are no weddings or on Sundays. And I would sit down because I couldn't afford Adobe at all, the suite or anything, even with the college credit, like discount you get. So I would sneak in there and I would teach myself InDesign so I could learn how to do invitation design. Cause I wanted to show my boss that I'm like, let me do the invites. Like, cause I was realizing at that point, it wasn't just wedding planning and like the design, it was the digital part of it, or like, you know what I mean? The graphic part of it was really calling. So that's when I started teaching myself. And then fast forward, when I was in North Carolina, that's when I was like really hitting Illustrator. Then I started teaching myself calligraphy by hand, which was so difficult because, my goodness, there was nothing available online at that point. And early, like 2011, 2012, there's no courses. There's just a couple books out there. And I didn't know what I was doing. But I taught myself calligraphy. And then I started teaching myself code, which that's because I was at that point, Blogger was really big and people were wanting to do like customize their Blogger blogs and stuff like that. So it was just kind of slow evolution of like doing a logo, then calligraphy, and then websites over time. But yeah, all self-taught.
Yeah, that's amazing. So that is what I wanted to go into next, is kind of the evolution of Saffron Avenue. I think when I started my agency or design studio 7 years ago, I was also self-taught. And I would search, you know, designers, and you were one of them that I found, and just so beautiful and like all of just super unique. But I think the way that you have your business structured now is really interesting and very unique that to a lot of design studios that are out there. So how did you go from, like having an Etsy store to now doing these like semi-custom brand launches and all of that? Because that I think is really interesting.
So I guess I was going to be like, well, there's a lot that can be said about it, but I feel like there is one thing that people, maybe people know, I guess I really know, I have no idea, that I am very like into, like, I don't have a lot of people. I have one design assistant and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have social media. I don't have other people. And I love that about my business. So in terms of like scaling, like that was never a part of my plan, is to be like, I want a lot of designers. I want another designer. Like, it would be great maybe in the future. But that's one thing I feel like looking back, I'm like, well, God, I haven't really done that much because like I haven't scaled like that, but I have done different. I've tried a lot of things to get where I am today, obviously. Mm-hmm. So even I think it was seven years ago. I don't know the dates at this point or years, but when the iPad first came out, I think it iPad Pro. I bought the first version, which is wild. I still have that same one. It works like a charm.
Oh,
But
my iPad is so old.
I
Like, and same with
know
my
it's
Apple Pencil, and I love it.
yeah, same one. So it's literally from like 2013, I think, or 14 or something like that. That was like an example of like I was doing stuff. I was actually diving into a little bit the influencer realm because like Shopbop was paying me money to like share their clothes. You know, I tried that Instagram influencing thing for a while. And then I had an actual shop where I sold stationery. Some people that listen might remember that with like, or you might remember that too. I don't know when I did it, but I had like coffee mugs and notepads. I did
Oh,
that.
cute.
That failed. Got the iPad Pro, realized that there was no one really, people were loving what they're seeing. And so I'm like, well, I should sell brushes. So I was like one of the first, which is crazy, to sell digital Procreate brushes and had the whole shop. And that shop kind of expanded because I'm like, well, that's when I discovered Showit. And I'm like, well, maybe I can do Showit web. You know what I mean? Like, so it was like this crazy evolution. And that's kind of what brought me, like, if you look it back on everything, it then brought me to, because I was still doing branding. That was always my thing. Like branding and websites has always been my biggest thing. The brushes were on the side, you know, digital things were on the side and just hobbies. But the branding and websites were like my main business, like moneymaker and passion. And then in the past couple of years, though, like I think I launched my semi-customs, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago. But in the last couple of years, I've really honed in on like making them really unique and special for each person and kind of pushing the envelope when it comes to actually semi-custom. With that being said, it's because I'm a crazy person. I'm like perfectionist and I literally cannot make every, like I cannot do the same thing twice. Like my body, my brain, my heart can't do it. I literally can't do it. So each one is so different because it's an opportunity for me to be creative, like I yearn for all the time. In like these short sprints per se, instead of spending literally 8 weeks on one full brand build. Now I could do it in a week and keep doing it. Okay, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Did
No,
it?
absolutely. Yeah, I just want, like, we
All right.
started with the evolution of Saffron Avenue
Yeah.
and how you got there, and that's so amazing. And I think the trial and error is super important. But I also did want to touch on, like, the whole idea of scaling.
Yeah.
Scaling is really just building the foundation of your business, right? To whatever your goals are. So, and I tell this to people all the time, like, it doesn't need to be like growing a huge team and having all these things. As long as it fits into your life and it's the vision that you have, like,
I
that
love
is
that.
what scaling is. So, whether it's implementing systems so that you only have to have one person working
Yeah.
with you or whatever. But yeah, no, I think that's so interesting. So, that goes into like my next string of questions for you is like, how do you find creativity in launching all of these different types of brands? Or like, where do you find creativity?
Pinterest usually. Yeah, in terms of like you're talking about like the actual semi-custom brands.
Yeah, or just like in general, like, where do you find that you get the most creative inspiration from?
So I would say, so I'll kind of, yeah, I would say more like with the semi-customs because I do them so often and I launch at least one a quarter. So it gives me some time to like really get excited about it. So my first thing I do is I obviously know like the next launch one, what day that would be. So like, for example, May, I think it might, we might, I might do one. And knowing the time frame, like the season, that's my first starting point. So, for example, I launched one in early November and it was the Cressida brand. It was Reds and it was really like luxury rich. And the reason why I did that is because I know people are starting to get that vibe. Okay, this sounds like so manipulative, but it's not. People are starting to get into the mode of Christmas and that like warmth and dark, you know what I mean? Like luxury, it was kind of sexy looking vibe. So I knew that would be more attractive to people. So that's kind of my starting point. And then of course I kind of go into, well, what color palette is something that isn't the typical? So I'm not going to do something like super, super neutral. Let's just say like I love color and I'm playing with it. And I feel like it's, I want to be able to tell a story with that color palette. So the next thing I do is like, well, what in that season, what kind of color palette can I create? So even for example, my last drop was Palmer and it was more spring kind of driven. So the new year is more refreshing. So I was like, I'm gonna do a little bit lighter palette. and it was a little, actually more like Charleston Southern styled, and because I want it to also have that a specific vibe. So typically it's, as I'm searching like in or Pinterest or even Instagram or anything like that, and I might find some pins and I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. So I'll start creating a board on Pinterest, and I have a bunch of them. It's called Brand Styles. So feel free if anyone wants to go look at them. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, I'll link them in the show notes.
And yeah, and I try to break it down into a style, and then I just start pinning. And you know, the beauty of Pinterest is like, once you start pinning a style, it's like, here's more. It just like keeps filtering itself to your face. And I love it. So I'm like, okay, this is fun. So then I started seeing patterns, and then I'm like, oh, there's more like fashion things. And then it just keeps kind of rolling. So that's kind of where the vision comes to play for the whole thing. And from there, I'm like trying to actually narrow down a palette. And then I start creating and designing the actual element. So I would say it starts seasonally, and then it kind of moves into the Pinterest, and I find one image or two images that really kind of like, you
solidify
know,
the direction. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really interesting. So then I guess just going deeper into the semi-custom, just like process, I think that this, that sometimes scares people because they're like, okay, well, it's not, you know, completely custom. It's only the 1 week time frame, and you have to really have a pretty nailed down system and process in order to make this successful. So what are some things that you put in place for this to be such a successful offer?
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly, it blows my mind that, okay, that's not true. I'm working on my confidence. So, and I have to tell myself, like, I am good at what I do. I am talented. I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? I have to like reiterate that in my brain. Pump yourself up. Because I'm like, why are they selling so well? You know, and I'm like, stop. I can't get remove that from my vocal, my words. I guess like, so you're like saying just in like the process of like making sure, or like how I'm kind of selling the idea of like a semi-custom actually can be creative.
I guess I mean like from lead to launching the brand, you know, that can sometimes having such a quick turnaround time. Like I think that especially with designers, sometimes, you know, it's hard to get feedback from clients, or they are like, oh, can we just push it back like another day or two? Yeah. So in order for an offer like this to be successful, you really have to have those, things in place. So what are some of those things that you have in place for not only for the client, but for you as well?
Okay. Yeah. So I think starting off too, one is like the goal of doing my semi-custom obviously is like turnaround is a big part, but when I'm creating the whole thing, which I've actually noticed a lot more people are starting to do the same thing, which I don't own the space. I get it, but it's telling a story and like showing it all in like a complete package. So that's why I try to like pull in all these different like styled, you know, stock images and mock-ups. So people can like go on the site and actually see like, oh, they get like immersed in what this looks like. And they start to envision, be like, wait, this actually is my ideal style. Yeah. So I know kind of like, they already know that this is like, they're one, attracted to it. And two, it's like everything they see, it's getting them excited. So they have an idea. So the second part, of course, is being like, then they have to understand that with the semi-custom, I don't really change a lot of like the layout per se of like the logo. I might, let's be honest, sometimes it happens. They kind of know what to already expect. And because they see it and they've seen past ones and they see the before and after. So they know kind of like, all right, same style, same vibe, but they're going to be changing up the colors, the style, what all these things. So I think that's just off the bat, they know kind of the expectation.
Right.
And what I've learned is that, kind of jumping quickly a little bit forward, that it's so much more exciting then for people. And you know this, like when people see their own logo and name and brand in such a beautiful way in a style that they like, it's like the craziest thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they see a preview. So like my semi-custom brand, they see it and they love that. But the minute they see their own stuff in there, it's like this whole other love for it. Yeah. So it's even more exciting. And I feel like that's even more helpful. So more or less when they do reach out and they buy it, there is a process of like homework. So they have a questionnaire that is more detailed. So it kind of hits on my brand workbook that I sell too. It talks about like, you know, the brand party, your values, your, you know, adjectives, style, you know, your, all these different things. And then the Pinterest board, which I recommend, or I require at least like 30 to 50 pins. And I also make sure they pin like monograms that they might like, patterns and textures and like style, interiors, like all those things.
Yeah.
Because a lot of, yeah. So then I basically look at their homework and I look at their Pinterest. And if it's not aligning with the brand that they bought, then I'm like, then I reach out right away and I'm like, things are a little off. Which is fine. Let's kind of narrow it down. But to be honest, that rarely happens, which is nice. Usually the style is pretty on point because I think they're always referencing what they did purchase,
right?
In terms of like that style. So pretty much that's, they have to finish their homework before they can choose a date. So that's like number one. So there are about like six people from like 2 years ago who have yet to pick a date because they never finished their homework.
Oh, wow.
That is on them.
That purchase one?
That
purchase. Oh, wow.
And I usually follow up at least twice to be like, pick your date because I'm launching another one. But usually they typically always are, they know my dates fill up fast. So normally they get their homework done. But I require homework to be filled out before they even choose a slot in my calendar. And then it's usually on a Friday. So I spend usually that Friday morning, Thursday night working on it. And then I have all weekend, which sounds crazy to some people, but Sunday is my day of like creativity for myself. Like I love sketching. I love drawing. I love being on the couch working. So I feel like those are my most like, I don't know, creative days.
Yeah.
And then Monday, I usually dedicate the whole day typically to it as well. And I try to have everything wrapped up by Tuesday. So it's, I mean, it is really quick and it's kind of crazy, but again, I have a really good direction.
Right.
And we do, sometimes I do chat with them ahead of time if we need to get on the same page.
Oh, that's awesome. And I love how you work around you and your creativity and how you know that, you know, Sundays are your days. That's amazing. I love that. Okay.
And even
that's
like
awesome.
Thursday nights, because sometimes Fridays are super slow. And that's again why I do it on Fridays, because it's my creativity. Like I'm just going to sketch low or my monograms on Thursday nights into Friday and kind of work from there.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And yeah, I think having that process and reaching out, and I do the same thing. We don't do semi-custom, but we like, you can't book your kickoff call with us until your homework is done. And that has been a huge game changer in just speeding up the process or just getting like bringing the momentum of the project going. I think whenever clients or some of my mentees, they say from their clients, like, oh, I have trouble getting feedback or they're not responsive. It's usually a momentum issue. And having that, like hopping on a call and having deadlines when things are meant, I think when you need things is a huge game changer for your process.
Yeah. And I think too, like with that being said, and like a tip, I feel like is for me, I make sure like if I haven't, cause they know I do one a week. So if I'm literally working on one and they are not getting back to me in time, they know that the next one's coming up. So then I'm putting theirs on the back burner.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's amazing. I love that. So you're also doing branding projects on top of this?
Yeah. So I think that's too, which I know a lot of, if there's a lot of designers listening, they understand this too. Semi-customs are very, very different from brand strategy and brand build outs and stuff like that. So that's the other thing is it's unfortunate because I think some designers look down on semi-customs, which is totally fine. Like you do you, if you don't like it, you don't like it, but it makes so much sense for a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
And a lot of them that I worked for, actually, there's a handful that are newer, but surprisingly, a lot of them are more established. And what they literally need is just like kind of a cleanup because they see the direction and they know that's their style. They've already built it. They have their core like audience and they need like the refining. And they just don't need that strategy at this point.
Yeah.
So I think like that's the biggest thing because I still do full build outs strategy and everything like that. And again, that's where it takes me 8 to 10 weeks. It's such a big process. And so, but that's like the ones that I just do on the side. And same with like mini brands, they're a lot. It's more work, obviously not a full build out, but yeah. So that's the other part of the business.
Yeah. But you're definitely still doing strategy with the semi-custom, like there's thought and there's a specific style in mind when you're creating that. So I think that there still is some strategy and things. And I think you're right. Not every business, and the longer I get into business, I realize this, is that not every business needs a brand new brand and website. Like our most successful clients and our the majority of our clients have proof of concept. They've been in business for 3 to 5 years. They're generating multiple six figures in business. They have goals. They know, like, my first red flag for clients is when I'm on a sales call and they're like, and I ask them what their services are. And they're like, well, I'm thinking about, and it's like, okay, nope, we're not the right fit for you. Like, even if they're willing to, like, they've already seen the pricing guide, they're willing to invest, like, they're not going to get out of it the proper results. And for so sure. I definitely think there's something to be said for still providing elevated brand visuals without, you know, having to invest $10,000.
Well, yeah. And I think on top of that, like, because yes, there's still some, of course, a strategy in it. Like, I'm not downplaying that. But I also think there's a beauty in the semi-customs, because even like Tonic too, like sending stuff my way of like template customizations. But a lot of times what they have issues with is because they don't have a brand in place. And they're like, how do I customize this template? Website template, but I don't really know what color, you know what I mean? So even my semi-customs have made, given people so much clarity because they bought a template and they're like, now I can actually get my website done because now I know what I'm doing. So, but again, they don't have the time or, you know, need the full build out. They don't need four different concepts. They don't need all the strategy. So it really does make sense.
Yeah. What made you decide to start offering the semi-custom? Like, were you noticing that this was a gap in the market, or you just were kind of like, I feel like trying this out. Let's see what happens.
So I think, so here's the crazy thing. If I look, which is weird to think about, but when I look back on the last, oh my gosh, how many years am I doing this? 12, 11? I don't even remember. There's so many times in my career, I guess you can say, or in Saffron Avenue, where I see a gap in the market. So for example, like I said, the digital brushes for Procreate and the iPad, like there was no one doing it. So I'm like, I'm going to start it. But then people started doing a lot of it. And so I stopped. I have them on my set, but I don't market them anymore. Yeah. And then I saw these wax seals that were really ugly. And I'm like, can I put my calligraphy on them? And Artisair, if you, no one knows who Artisair is, it's, they do the most beautiful wax seals. I reached out to them and I was like, would you ever put my work on your seals? And now they have a whole like community of designers creating seals with them. And that, you know, I still contribute to them, but it's not nearly as much. So kind of like that gap in the market got small. So I'm like, I kind of peace out. Same with the launch kit. I didn't see anything in like 7 years, 6 years ago about launch kit. So I'm like, I'm going to create that. So at the point, I feel like semi-customs, I think it was the same thing. I feel like there was no one really, there was someone like Etsy, you know what I mean? And like, maybe, I think Etsy was like the main one. We're doing it, but I'm like, I want to do it differently. And the reason why I really wanted to do them is because of that. I was getting burned, more of like a burnout from spending so much time on one brand every couple months.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not getting that creative, like excitement for design. Like, that's why I did my show at Templates in my shop, because I like designing for myself a lot of times. Yeah. And every time is very selfish. The reason why I do so many customs is so I can create for myself, because I choose the style. I choose this whole look. It's creating a mock brand. Like, what designer wouldn't love having to do that? So with that being said, I spent a lot of time creating the brand, the semi-custom, which is wasted because none of them ever really look like it, which is totally fine. I never use the same images, but it's so much fun for me to do it. So I'm like,
well, and that's what sells it.
And it's what sells it. It's just, and it's so much fun for me. So I think that's why I originally started, is because I'm like, I see how happy I am and like excited I get when I get to do them.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think that's so important when you own a business, because you're the business owner. So you get to decide what services you're offering, how much you work. If you're not happy in your business, then there's no point. There's literally no point in doing it. So following your intuition and being like, okay, these are the hours that make me happy to work. And this is the type of work that I enjoy doing. That is just so amazing. And honestly too, like when you, to get like a little woo, is like when you are working at that kind of vibration, it's just gonna like keep you growing and bringing more opportunities and things your way. So I love that. There's so many takeaways in there. So I want to talk about too, you are a new mom, Charlie. She is 8 months old, you said?
Yep, about.
Yeah. So how has that been, you know, how has the transition for you been to owning a business and being a mom?
So I think, okay, first off, was it you that shared, I think you did, you might have shared a podcast or something about your maternity leave and like prepping for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I listened to it and I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. And like, oh, well, I didn't. And that was dumb. So that was probably the hardest thing is I took 8 weeks. I say I only took 8 weeks, but before that I had to work on my semi-custom, which sucks. I do not recommend 8 weeks when you're a new mom. Like that is crazy. I had to go back to work because our bank accounts was dwindling. So with that being said, it's crazy because I shared this on my Instagram and I think I was like so nervous of how much becoming a mother was going to change me and my business and my creativity. Mm. I think that was like my biggest thing I shared. Like I was so scared that I was going to be so tired that I wouldn't want to create. I was going to be so like obsessed with her that I wouldn't want to do Saffron Avenue anymore. Cause you hear these things happen.
Yeah.
You know, you start to pivot and like your mindset changes. And, you know, I was like, that was my biggest fear. And I think I built that up so much. And then I had her. And then it was like a fog because that first 6 months was pure torture.
Yep.
And then I kind of got over that hump. And to realize like after that, I feel like it was like 6 week mark, I started to get to like pick up my computer again. And I was like in heaven. Mm. Like I didn't feel guilt. It just sucked back in. And I would literally like shut my brain off. And I would just dive in. Yeah. So it was only like an hour at that, you know, a day, if I was even lucky at that point.
Yeah.
But I realized like how much I still love what I do. And I was so surprised because I was so nervous. Then looking back now, I'm like, well, okay. So nothing's really changed.
Yeah.
My life really hasn't in terms of business and parenthood or motherhood is about the same for me. Not a lot has changed, which is absolutely, I'm so grateful. Like yeah. I'm grateful I had my husband who was so supportive emotionally. I had a great, you know, I don't have family around here, but I have great friends. So like, I think, you know, I have my design or virtual assistant who was really great too, that like allowed me to just kind of dive back in a way. Yes, I don't work as much, which is too bad, but that is what it is. But I think that was my biggest thing. So I guess my thing for someone listening who might be pregnant or in the same situation or might have kids in the future and is wondering the same thing, just know, because I didn't hear this, just know that it might not be a drastic change and like that's okay and not to yeah. feel guilt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's different for everyone. Like you can't compare your journey to someone else's. And you really like, yes, I planned my business, but I didn't plan my life or like emotionally, and it was literally nothing like I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. So you could like plan and do all the things, but it's just never going to turn out exactly how you want it.
Exactly. True. And like, it's crazy how it's constantly changing as well. But yeah, I think there was just such, I don't know. It was hard to explain. Cause I just feel like on Instagram, I got sucked into even the first, like said, 6 weeks where I didn't have a lot of, I didn't really connect with Charlie right away. And I saw all these women being like, my heart is ripped apart if I'm away from her. And I was like, oh God, I'm like, I can leave for an hour. Like I'm totally fine. Still can. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, but I didn't want that guilt to get to me. You know what I mean? Cause I was like, I don't know. I can't compare myself to these new moms who do feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And not to feel guilty that I love working. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like, it was such a weird balance, but at the same time, like everyone's path and journey is so different. And yeah. I just kind of like sat in that. And I'm like, that's great. Like, that's good that I'm feeling this way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm grateful yeah. that this is how it is.
Yeah. And I think we were messaging back and forth, and that's kind of how mm-hmm. we connected on Instagram, as you reached out to me and you were like, I really resonated. I think I posted a story or something.
I think it was your birth story.
Yeah. My birth story about yeah. how I just wasn't very maternal.
No. Oh yeah. Cause you're during pregnancy, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you shared your labor. And I was like, that sounded amazing.
I did have
like hope mine's like yours. And then yeah. mine was terrible.
I know. I read yours. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I can't think about it too much still, yeah, but that's
fine. We don't have to talk about it, but that's another thing. Like, don't compare yourself to anyone. Like, everyone's is totally different. But I think, like, we had originally, like, started chatting because we were talking about how we both weren't particularly maternal. Like, yeah. I was never like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to have children. Like, mm-hmm. I can't wait to, like, snuggle a baby. Like, thoughts that our never businesses. Crossed my mind. So it has been, you know, it is interesting to see, like, how that has now worked into our life. But I actually read a really good book. It was called Hunt, Gather, Parent. And it's a little controversial. Some people, like, love and rave about it. Some people absolutely hate it. But it talks a lot about how we as parents teach our kids by action and through showing. So if we obviously want the world for our kids, right? Like, we want our girls to grow up and lead and just be happy and love a life that they have, a life that they love. But if they're not seeing that from us, then how will they know that's even possible? So just by us being women that are leading our families and showing them that we have jobs that we absolutely love that make an impact on other people's lives, like, we can't ask for anything better and any better sort of direction for our kids. So I think there's, like, that mom guilt of, like, I should be spending all of my time, or, like, I should be spending all my time with my business or my baby or whatever. There's really no perfect balance, but they can work in harmony, and one really does complement the other.
Yeah, for sure. And I know we kind of, like, said we might hit on this because everyone's situation is so different too. And I'm beyond grateful. I mean, this is kind of twofold. I never wanted kids my whole life, pretty much. In the last 2 years, we changed our mind, which is wild to think about that. Like, that's a really big deal to change your mind on. Yeah. However, I honestly, in the last 2 months, I've been getting my age wrong a lot. I'm pretty sure I'm 36. Okay, I think I'm 36. I'm going to be 37 in a couple months. Being the age that I am, which is an older parent or mother, has allowed me to build my career to where it's at, which has then allowed me to have more financial security and allow my husband to not have to work and to raise our daughter during the day. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think like that's kind of, I'm so grateful for that because she is home. Like, I think he's actually just took her. She was napping. He's now in the basement working out with her. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm so thankful because I'm still at home and I get to see her all the time, but I'm able to still connect and just do work when I have
to. Do what you want to do and do what you love. Yeah.
And no, she sees that.
Yeah, she sees that, and she'll see it when she's older, and that you're doing something that you love and you're drawing and you're finding creativity, and maybe she'll do that too. Or maybe she'll find her own thing, but she'll have get inspiration from the way that you lead and lead your business and your clients and stuff. Yeah, that's so beautiful. And that's I told you right before our call, that's like our goal this year is for my husband to be able to stop working. And so, yeah, that's amazing. And I also think too, like, that is where a lot of the direction is going now with families. People are, you know, starting families later because they're invested in their careers. They're loving what they're doing and it just doesn't make sense for them yet. And then, you know, now you're able to, like, live out your dream, and it's just super beautiful. Okay, awesome. Is there anything else about that kind of that topic of, like, starting a business or being a business owner and becoming a mom?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think I have a lot of advice to give. That's what I'll say. It's like, I don't think I want to be sharing a lot of advice because I don't know. No one knows what they're doing. Let's be honest. I just know that my situation is so unique that it's, you know, I'm just grateful for it. And I think it's just so hard because I don't know what it would be like to have to send Charlie to daycare. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, that sounds so sad to me too, because I would miss her so much. But I also know, like, everyone has a different situation.
Right. So what does your day-to-day look like now? Like, what are your days and, like, weeks look like?
Yeah. So I've been, okay, so kind of going back to, like, this is just me running the business. I am pretty terrible, unlike you. You're great at this. I feel like scheduling my time, my calendars, and, like, days for this and days for that. Just know, anyone listening, like, I am terrible at that, and you can still succeed in life.
Yes.
So in terms of, like, the day to day, I have certain days I do, like, Obviously, Fridays are semi-customs, Mondays are wrap-ups, Wednesdays are my mini brands and ongoing brand projects, Tuesdays are template customizations when I have them. So I have these days kind of set out for especially calls and all that. But the day itself is so random because of, as you know, like ongoing client projects. Like I have one client who I've been working with for years who's constantly like, we need a new product designed, design some candles, or I want to refresh my brand. Can we do it? So it's trying to figure out when to, you know, incorporate all that. And also I'm working on a big, like a collaboration with someone. So I have like all kinds of things happening. With that being said, I wake up and feed Charlie around 7-ish and then start work by 8. And then I normally will just do, you know, so I just prioritize in the day of like, I need to know, I need to finish this like semi-custom. I need to email Kristen. I need to reach out to KT, like all these different things. And then work on what I can in that, like, I want to say like 2.5-3 hours. And then I usually will go work out and try to work while I'm working on the treadmill if I can. I do some more work and then feed Charlie again. And then usually there's a pretty good chunk in the afternoon where I get like 4 hours of work in. So it's more kind of like wrap up projects and more creativity at that point. And then I think she eats once more at night. And I usually pick up my computer again around 7:30 and work till like 10, depending, because I got a pump at night still. So I got a pump at 9. It takes like 35 minutes for me to get like a little bit of milk.
I can like still hear the pump, echoing in the back of my head.
Yes. But it's not bad because I'm literally able to work during it. So I'm like, I'm multitasking. So it doesn't feel as like work, I guess.
As bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you'd say that's a good schedule because it's kind of like a hit or miss every day, but that's what I try.
No, everyone's is different. And I honestly just plan, like I plan the night before. And then I just have designated days for, you know, calls and whatnot. Yes. But I mean, we only have 2 days of childcare right now. So I have to be like as organized as possible. Otherwise,
exactly,
I won't get anything done. Otherwise, I'll sit at my desk and be like, what should I do today?
Yes, because that does happen. I'm like, oh, why did I do this to myself?
Yeah. And then I'm like, I only have 3 hours. Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I spend like 25 minutes panicking about like prioritizing and what I actually have to do when if I just did it the night before, like all would be well.
So. Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, Angela, this was so awesome. It was so great to have you on the show. So how can we work with you? How can we follow you? Tell us all the things.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've gotten everything that's at Saffron Avenue. So on all platforms, which is kind of nice.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's saffronavenue.com. And my shop is shopsaffronavenue.com, I believe. But yeah, because I know, like I said, a lot of designers follow. So can't say I have a lot to offer, but that's not true. So I am going to, or I have a collaboration with Northfolk, who has a bunch of Show It templates, and they have The Vault, which is for designers to be able to use these templates for template customizations. So I'm actually doing a specific, putting my collection with a couple new templates in The Vault, which designers can use for their clients, which is exciting. Yeah. So they do a lot of Show It template stuff. So all my templates will be over there because I think we kind of hit on this, but like I'm wanting to niche down more with branding and more branding education and all that stuff. So I'm kind of shifting and pivoting to be able to still, because I love designing website templates, but I'm going to be doing it through them pretty much. So it's going to be a Saffron Avenue collection, and designers can actually access them, possibly limited quantity to be able to use for their clients on for client websites.
Oh, that's so smart. I love that.
Yeah, which is really cool. And of course, my semi-customs, which I usually drop quarterly.
Super cool.
I think. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Angela. This was so great to chat with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Behind the Design podcast. I'm your host, Olivia Austin, designer, business mentor, and life enthusiast, here to help you build your dream life and business. If you liked this episode, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and share. And don't forget to come say hi on Instagram at @ByOliviaAustin. I would love to hear from you. Head to byoliviaaustin.com for free trainings, business resources, courses, and other ways to work with me. I will see you in the next episode.